Buccaneers fans, the king of Newport Richie is here. Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here, and this is the Ira Kaufman podcast. Thanks so much for listening and subscribing. So many more subscribers coming on. It's fantastic. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, iHeart radio app. I know many of you have heard our commercials for the Ira Kaufman podcast on WDAE 95.3 FM and AM 620. We appreciate that feedback. And of course, our Joe Bucks fan show is on the weekends, which is very cool for the folks listening there too as well. I think that's helped the podcast. So we are very appreciative. And everything here is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers, 65 years, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Man, they have got incredible October offers. They are mind-blowing, really. There's so many. We talk about them all the time. Oh, great offers this month, but this is an extra special month. They've got 0% financing continuing, zero down, no payments till next year, a host of zero down lease deals, BillCurryFord.com. Don't forget their service department. And don't forget the Ira Kaufman discount. Ira, I actually get have gotten emails before, got one recently, where people go buy a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford or get you know, a huge service repair done and say, oh, it was great. You know, it was really cool. You know, want to let you guys know. And then they tell me they didn't ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. Don't do that.
You got to bring it up.
A lot of people don't like to do that. You know, they feel funny about it. So don't feel funny about it. Ask for your Joe Bucks fan or Ira Kaufman discount.
If you want, you ask for it and give me the $500. I'll accept it.
There you go.
It
may not be $500. Ira. It depends. Could be more. Could be less. BillCurryFord.com. Curry's the family name.
Ira will take more.
C-U-R-R-I-E. Sage, a little bit of news on Florida's Elite Restoration. I think Josh is going to come on the podcast, the owner of Florida's Elite Restoration, probably, I'm going to say, in the next 2 weeks.
Very nice.
So we were talking about that today. He's not only a great Bucks fan, but a knowledgeable guy. And, of course, he's been listening to you, Ira, for years, so that makes him knowledgeable.
And we might have Sean Sullivan on in the next few weeks,
Sean
too.
Already announced that on his Best in Class podcast. So it's going to be a guest week, I think, during the bye. We'll be doing some stuff.
Josh will be finished with his baby rave. I never heard of such a thing. And looking at it, I'm even more puzzled. He was at a baby rave in Ybor City.
Where'd you see it? On Facebook?
In Instagram. I don't do Facebook. Instagram.
Oh, I don't do Instagram.
Well, you need to.
Hey, you need to do Facebook.
No, I don't, because there's better looking chicks on Instagram. I want to say something.
The podcast is spinning out of control.
It was like a concert, and everybody had their kids on their shoulders.
Oh, boy.
And it's a rave in Ybor, and it's unique. Let's put it that way.
Sounds unique. We'll talk more about Florida's Elite Restoration later. For all of your restoration needs, storm damage, flood, fire, mold, water damage is a killer. You have to call them for your free evaluation. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Ira, look, the Bucks got beaten up on Monday night. Everybody's waiting to hear what the Sage has to say after they've already read his 10 takeaways column. But what do you got to say for yourself?
It's a tale of two losses. The loss to Detroit I can live with. I called for it. I knew it was coming. I didn't like the timing of this whole thing. With, as you mentioned, the Lions don't lose two games in a row, and they were pissed off. And it showed.
Yeah.
And if there wasn't an injury, I mean a big one,
massive,
to Mike Evans, we wouldn't be approaching this podcast, you know, in somber tones. But we are. I mean, the Buck offense in many ways runs through Mike Evans, although I could argue, and I have, that Bucky Irving is now the catalyst for the Buck offense. We saw his absence sorely missed Monday night.
Yes.
And I might add offhandedly, and I don't know if you're with me on this, it was not Josh Grizzard's grandest stage either. He abandoned the run very quickly. And I know they were down 14-0.
Yeah.
But, Lee, when you look at it, they weren't throwing the ball well. They weren't throwing the ball well. They weren't protecting Mayfield well. And he wasn't throwing the ball well when he did have guys open. So that wasn't working. Now, if they were shredding Detroit's pass defense, then I could see Mayfield throwing 50 balls. But it didn't work. Now, I'm not saying, you know, they would have won the game if they ran Sean Tucker 14 times. But they were totally out of balance. Totally. And Grizzard, I think, showed a little bit of his inexperience. They deserved to lose. This one's not on the Zebras, although the Zebras had a bad night.
That's
but
fair.
The Bucks were going to lose that game. They were outplayed. Yeah. The first half was a disaster of the Buck offense. Absolutely disaster. They did absolutely nothing with the ball. And that's why, and a lot of people disagree with me, and you might, I thought the defense was credible. Not incredible,
yes,
but
yes,
credible.
Yes, they gave up some big plays.
Because every time you turn around, Detroit had the ball. And, you know, they're averaging 32 points a game, Lee.
Oh, I got better one than
that,
but yeah.
I'm not killing the Buck defense. I'm just not doing it.
So I'm 100% with you. In their last six home games, including a playoff loss, their last six home games, Detroit was averaging 37 points a game. Averaging.
That's good research, Lee.
They held them to 24 points. Now, granted, did Dan Campbell leave points on the board in the first half? Yes, he did. You know, I don't know why he, I'm just being objective here. I'm glad he did this. But I don't know why he's going for, you know, fourth and something when you got a gimme field goal staring you in the face.
Yeah.
I don't understand
that. That's Campbell, though. That's Campbell,
but I don't think that's very wise. I've used this one-liner several times. I'll use it again. He listened to ESPN Analytics. Now, Ira, I know you don't do college football. I'm one of these people. I'm glued to the tube from noon till 2 o'clock in the morning.
I hope you take some bathroom breaks, DeKemper.
Of course.
All right. I want that monitored. I want that checked off on a piece of paper.
The two things that drive me. You want me to document when I go to the bathroom?
I want you to bring the sheet in on Sunday.
Do you need to know what I did? Number one, number two, how many toilet rolls I went through,
And how many minutes you spent in there? Also,
well, not very long because I got football to watch.
You can't be watching Eastern Illinois and Iowa State. You can't do it. You can't do it.
I would if that's the only thing on. By the time 9 o'clock hits, I want to punch somebody. First, that was god awful Discovery commercials. I want to strangle whoever the hell decided I want to watch some 60-year-old bimbo try to push a credit card with 18% interest.
That's when you
get
go
off
in
my
and you,
TV.
That's when you go in and make some chili.
Well, that's when I want to take a baseball bat to my TV. By 9 o'clock, go on Twitter, Joe Bucks fan, at Joe Bucks fan. I guarantee you by 9 o'clock there's going to be something I'm screaming at Discover. I want to choke these people. That's
all
number
right,
one.
Point number two.
ESPN Analytics say go for it.
Yeah.
I've never heard those clowns say, ESPN analytics say punt. I've never heard it. Never. It could be fourth and 40 from the 10-yard line. ESPN analytics say go for it.
Yeah.
And that's what Dan Campbell was doing. He was listening to ESPN analytics. Go for it.
Now, Steve, the one thing that we didn't even need a reminder of Monday night, but we saw it. Gibbs is extraordinary. He's an extraordinary player. He's an extraordinary talent. Is he the best running back in football? Well, Jonathan Taylor is this year, but Gibbs is right there. 215 yards from scrimmage or whatever. Nobody was going to catch him on that 78-yarder, Steve. You saw it. Once he broke through, you knew it was done. So the Bucs are vulnerable to those swing passes to the backs. It started in the first game, in the first quarter on the third snap of the game. Bijan Robinson, a little sneak out to the right side, the right flat. There's no Buck near him. 50 yards later, the Falcons are up 7-0. That's the first game of the year. They really haven't gotten much better at it. Bowles said, well, sometimes we corralled them, sometimes we didn't. You didn't corral them. You got to swarm to the ball against guys like that, and they didn't. They didn't do it. They thought the first guy was going to bring the tackle down. That's the chink in the Buck armor on defense, and it showed up last night. But, Steve, I don't know how you think, but I got to give the Buck defense maybe a B-minus or a C-plus. It's not a D.
More
it's
than a C-plus. I mean, they held a high-powered offense to 24 points. Even though Gibbs killed them, it's 24 points.
Yeah. And St. Brown went crazy in the first quarter. He had a big
first
quarter.
Jacob Parrish fell down.
Yep.
We kept seeing guys fall down. I don't know what's going on, but I think the Glazers should commission a shoe inquiry to see what's going on.
They spent a lot of money on that documentary. Now they can spend some on shoe wear.
Why are these guys keep falling down? Now, this is turf.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could understand it on grass like we saw against the 49ers, as what I think was the classic line from Bowles. Halftime a couple of weeks ago. Well, if we didn't fall down, we'd be much better on defense.
He did say that.
You know, but I thought the Bucs defense was fantastic, minus the few big busts
early.
I mean, play after play after play after play. Look at the second drive, right? Yaya Diaby strip sack, and then next drive they go for it on fourth down. Benjamin Morrison's coverage is good enough. Turnover on downs. What comes next? Sarasie Dennis with a big sack. They got a punt. Over and over, they made plays.
Forced two turnovers. Yeah, yep.
You know, the Lions score a lot of points, and they held them with no support from the offense.
None.
I mean, the Bucs had one and out drives.
You saw their first seven possessions, Steve.
In the first half, the Bucs had two one and out drives. One and out.
Mean a turnover?
Fumble on first down, interception on first down. I mean, that's the kind of support the defense was getting. So I thought they did a lot of good things. It was good to see them all healthy, minus Kancey. And Todd Bowles fingered Roberts, the rookie, on the
Gibbs busted
run. He was talking on his radio show saying we had a young guy in there and he didn't fit it right and blah, blah, blah. And he was talking some technique about Zarassier Dennis's poor tackling.
Didn't Roberts also make a big play in the third or
fourth
quarter?
Yeah, he's good on the pass rush. He's just not there in the run game. I mean, I don't know if that's all his fault to get by one defensive lineman. You shouldn't go for 75 yards. But you wrote it in your column, Ira. Without that big run, Detroit averaged like 2.8 yards a carry. Rashad White was averaging 3.8 yards a carry. So I was very disgusted that they got away from the run like they did because, like you said, pass wasn't working.
It wasn't working.
So I'll go back to Lee's theory. Why can't we just run behind Tristan Wirfs and move the chains and get a little rhythm going?
Yeah, I saw none of that. But I'm not, unlike you guys, I'm a mismatch guy. And there was a mismatch in the secondary. Now, my issue was not that they were passing so much, because that is where the mismatch was. Would I rather try to get a guy out of position in a secondary that's a third stringer, or do I want to run up against Hutchinson and McNeil? No. However, did we see any rollouts? Did we see the Bucs try to use a hurry-up offense in the second half to jumpstart there? No, we don't. RPOs? What RPOs? There were no RPOs. And so I thought...
It was an unimaginative game plan. It was
like a one-trick pony almost. We're gonna try to get a seven-step drop and throw. The Bucs did not own the offensive line. Detroit owned the offensive line.
And I think, Lee, for the first time this season, and I don't think this is an overstatement, the protection was lousy. I think it's been good up to now, which is a credit to those guys, especially on the right
side.
I'll
agree with that.
I thought there was too much leakage, and I thought Mayfield was under too much siege.
Under siege, as you would say.
There was a game earlier.
But when he had time, he didn't connect either, Steve.
There was it Houston? I mean, that won that game, but the protection wasn't that good, but you had everybody playing out of position. I agree with you, Ira. This, at least you had three of your five offensive linemen playing where they should be. Tristan Wirfs didn't have a great game.
No, he didn't.
And I love Tristan Wirfs. He didn't have a great game. Didn't Aikman even say it? He said... Wirfs got turned around. He goes, you don't see that very often.
Yeah, he did.
When Mayfield started getting hurt early, I thought that was in his head. Notice all his throws were sailing. They were long.
They were high.
He had a couple of passes that were batted down early.
Yes.
And I think that was in the back of his head.
I think you're right.
And as a result, he was overthrowing.
Yeah, you're onto something. Who was the guy that broke open into the end zone going from left to right? Was it Egbuka? I can't remember. And just a terrible throw by Mayfield.
Yeah, if he throws him high, he got...
There was one to Ibuka that he missed in the end zone, one to Tez Johnson that he missed as well. It fell apart for Grizzard. Yeah, I agree with Lee, the mismatch was through the air, but they punted the first five possessions. It wasn't working. And I can't emphasize this enough. The Lions' defense is not that good. It is not. They didn't have a great defense coming in, and you're not going to see them put up some incredible defensive numbers
this
year.
It's good enough, considering their
offense.
It was
great the other night. You know, the Bucs just didn't do enough. It wasn't their night. Hopefully Mayfield's not hurt. And a couple of nuggets from Todd Bowles, Sage.
Wait a minute. You stop right there, Steve.
All right.
I'm a little concerned about Mayfield physically. I think he's battered. He's limping after the game.
Well, he did get tripped.
He's going to play in New Orleans. Yeah. He's playing. I'm not saying he's not, but... you know, the bye week can't come quick enough for Mayfield, I think.
Well, there's no question he got tripped late in the game, and there was no flag. I mean, it was blatant. I mean, Conrad Dobler was doffing his cap. It was so impressive.
Yeah, I remember that. He's a little beat up.
Yeah, he is. A couple of nuggets from Bowles on his radio show, Ira, and then I got a question for you. One, Bowles went out of his way to he almost sort of blasted Grizzard, but he got a little more, little more detailed, and he said the 50 passes. Is really in Bowles' craw.
Yeah,
and we got to be running the ball more, and especially on a night like that. So I thought that was interesting. It felt like Bowles might actually go say something to Grizzard.
I think he threw 36 passes in the second half. 36.
Yeah, in a game that wasn't out of reach. It was a little strange. As far as Mike Evans' return, what we don't know, Todd Bowles has talked about him coming back later in the year. But is Bowles talking about, and he hasn't clarified, is he talking about the end of the calendar year, or is he talking about the end of the year in the general aspect of the season? That's unclear. And on his radio show, it didn't get more clear because Bowles strongly implied that Evans would only be available for the playoffs.
I think it would be the playoffs.
So I don't know if he's talking calendar year or not. You know, we're going to find out.
He was in a lot of pain, Lee. Boy, was he in pain.
I thought he was knocked out cold.
Abuka said in the locker room after the game that he was unconscious.
Looked
and
like
Abuka
it.
Abuka was over there praying over him. I don't remember if you saw that scene, but he used the word unconscious.
Yeah, well, he looked like he was asleep. When they had that close-up shot, he looked like he was sawing logs.
That clavicle injury is very painful. Very painful.
And the concussion, hopefully. I don't remember him ever having one before, but, yeah, you never know.
Well, what's going on with Jalen McMillan? I think we got to start talking about this guy and asking Bowles about him because they need him right now. I don't know what's going on with Godwin. Evans is out.
I'll give you Bowles' answer. Why do you got to ask him? He's going to say, well, when I see him run around on the field a little bit, I'll get a better idea.
Where the heck is Jalen McMillan, Lee?
Sage, simply put, with McMillan, necks are serious. Badly sprayed neck. We all saw what happened on television against Pittsburgh. And, you know, if it's not healed, it's not healed. It's a neck.
I'm sure they're erring on the side of caution with the neck injury.
As they should. Yeah. As they should.
Now, last two things, Sage, real quick. Bowles mentioned, and this is the quote from Bowles, talking about Abuka not being 100% against the Lions.
He didn't look 100%.
No. He said, quote, we were playing with half a deck over there. Well, what is that? Why is he on the field? What's the urgency?
They wanted to get that win and be, you know, heading into New Orleans with one loss.
Half a deck. Yeah. That's what Todd Bowles actually said. So, crazy stuff, Ira.
I don't like the second guess because, first of all, the Mike Evans injury had nothing to do with his hamstring. That could have happened at any time.
Yeah.
And he made a great catch before that, and then didn't they say he didn't catch it or something?
Yeah, 1 foot out of
bounds. That was an incredible effort, by the way. You know, it's easy to say in retrospect, Lee, but in my opinion, you're probably not going to win that game, so give the guys an extra week.
Mm.
But that's not what cost them the game over there. But I didn't like the vibe going into the game. I didn't think the Bucs were going to win.
All right, I got two questions for you. You ready?
Yeah.
You want the trivia-type question or you want the serious question?
Yeah, give me
the
trivia.
What team, Ira, leads the NFL by a mile in strip sacks since 2019.
By a country mile?
By a country mile, relatively speaking. By, I think it's 5 or 7 strip sacks. They lead the league since 2019.
Jeez. That's a trick question, but I know the answer.
You know the answer?
Yeah, it's too obvious.
What? It better not be the Bucks.
It is the Bucks.
Yeah. He wouldn't have brought it up otherwise.
He wouldn't have brought it up. Think about that.
How many years are you going back?
Since 2019.
Since Bowles came up?
Yeah, Aaron's. Yeah, yeah. Bowles.
They lead by it's 5 to 5 or 7 strip sacks.
That was Simeon Rice's forte.
And by the way, Yaya Diaby, did that not look like Simeon Rice when he got that strip sack?
Yeah, yeah.
I had flashbacks.
Now, Bowles talked about how Diaby's changed his moves. He was doing X, and now he's doing X and Y.
He's being disruptive.
Yeah.
Like he's actually being coached up, which was very interesting. So that's a whole nother story. We'll talk about that
question two.
This week. Question two. All right, Ira. Well, first, let me just remind everybody, Florida's Elite Restoration, 5-star Google reviews across the board. So that means if you have a flood in your house, you got to know who to call. They'll come out with top technology 24/7. Check it out and let you know how you need to proceed to make sure you secure your insurance claim. And they are the best in the business. They can do all the work for you, repair everything, replace everything, restore everything. But more important, they're going to tell you the truth, and they're going to do what needs to be done to secure your funds from your insurance company so you can get everything taken care of the way you deserve to have and what you're paying for. Because people get ripped off from their insurance companies all the time. So get to their website, be prepared, and get educated, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. I like their newsletter. They got a really good, you learn a lot of tips about how to protect your home in there.
Nice. So, send me an email.
I'll send you an email.
All right.
I'll have my secretary reach out to your people.
Let your people talk to my people.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call. And if you need their service after your free evaluation, you'll get $500, period. So there you go. Ira, here's the question. We are 2 weeks from the trade deadline. What do the Bucks need? An inside linebacker? You're looking for an edge rusher? You're looking for a receiver? Because obviously there's a crisis at receiver looming if they have more problems here. And maybe a running back, because we don't know what the hell's going on with Bucky Irving. What are you looking at?
A guard. I haven't moved off the edge rusher. I haven't moved off it. And I'll say, even if Hassan Reddick hadn't gotten injured last night, I'd still be saying it. They need another edge rusher. Or a edge rusher. Look, guys, Reddick's been disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to put it. He's been disappointing. Now, you could chalk it up to the way Bowles is using him or whatever, but they brought him here to, you know, to get 11 sacks, and he's not doing that. So
he got one, doesn't he?
You know, I'm not giving up two number one picks for Trey Hendrickson. I'm not doing that because he's not 23 years old. And Lee, you know I'm right about this. A lot of times a guy gets traded who's like a pretty good player, and like they gave up a fifth-round draft pick. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And you say, they couldn't get more than that for that guy? And I think Light can get one of those guys, like a Bradley Chubb. Go get him.
Oh, yeah,
the Dolphins are going nowhere. Yeah. They'll take anything you can give them.
You would think.
And go get Chubb, and I don't care if he's only a third-down rusher. Go get him. He's good at it. To me, that's the number one priority. Now, Steve says we don't know what's going on with Bucky Irving. If he doesn't come back after the bye week, I mean,
there's something serious.
We got problems here. As far as the receivers considered, Lee, it's my opinion that if Irving comes back and he looks like the old Irving, I think that solves a lot of their offensive problems.
That's not a
weapon. I just do.
In the passing game, yeah.
I just do. And then, you know, Egbuka will be okay after the bye week, I think. And I think they can get by. Tez Johnson's coming on. Shepard's around. It's not great. And who knows about Godwin? I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But, Steve, I'm not getting off the edge rusher. You got to call the Dolphins. They're going to have a fire sale in the next week or two, and you got to get in there. You can't let a team like Carolina beat you to it. And by the way, Canales is doing one hell of a job.
Yeah.
They've won 4 out of 5, Steve. That team's won 4 out of 5 games after an 0-2 start.
Yeah.
You got to give them credit. They're one game behind the Bucs. They haven't played the Bucs yet. And I've been screaming all year, oh, look at the last 6 games, how patty cake it is. Well, they got to play Carolina twice. And I'm not sure that's to show up in a victory.
It wasn't last year.
Am I off the you with me on the edge rusher?
I mean, yes and no. I've said this before.
I'm not worried about a guard. I'm not doing that.
I've said this before. I've just come to the conclusion that they could dig up Deacon Jones and put him on the roster. He won't be used right.
I always give you that Shaq Barrett example. He used him. He didn't put him in coverage. He used him.
Well, I'll use. Did they? I don't know.
Well, how do you get 19 sacks if you're in coverage?
I am that down on Bowles and his lack of interest in the edge rush.
That doesn't mean you think Light shouldn't be interested in adding an edge rusher.
Well, what's the point of getting a guy in if he's not going to be used right? I mean, you could bring in Albert Pujols in your baseball team, and the manager's ordering him bunt every time. What's the point? I would hate to burn those resources. Now, you talk inside linebacker, that's a different story. You're talking about a cornerback, okay. Another wide receiver, sure. Hell, even another running back, I don't care.
So, are they going to get a running back that's better than White or Tucker at this point? Are they going to get somebody better? I mean,
I don't know, but it's about depth. I mean, I'm not saying go get a running back, but it's something you got to think about if Bucky Irving is going to continue to be out, and there's no word on, you know, the guy can't practice. Well, what's going on? I think you got to look at the offensive line. How are you going to win a playoff game with Charlie Heck? And
it didn't show up till Monday night, Steve. It didn't show up.
I understand.
So,
by the way, Ira, that's another guy we didn't mention. What's going on with Luke Goedeke? I asked Bowles point blank last week.
I'm not expecting him back. I'm not.
Oh, really? The whole season? You think?
I'm not expecting him back.
Wow.
I mean, I wouldn't expect him after what's come out, but all these guys are maybes. I'm just asking you because we're 2 weeks from the trade deadline, and, you know, you mentioned Miami. The Giants, look, they're going to fire their coach. You know how it goes.
And Miami's going to fire their
coach. That was one of the worst losses in the history of football, with Denver scoring a record 33 points in the second half.
In
the fourth quarter, which almost seems impossible, but I witnessed it, or at least the last 21 with my own eyes. But the Giants have a slew of pass rushers. And look, they know they got their quarterback. You know,
it wouldn't cost that much.
Even if they traded Jalen McMillan and said, look, Jackson Dart, he's going to need receivers for years.
Well,
you know? Got to remember, though, you can't trade a guy on the IR.
They could take him off IR and trade him.
Yeah. Well, I saw somebody brought up trading Hassan Reddick. His value.
Yeah, I brought that up.
His value's nil.
Well, if his value's nil, then cut him.
His value's nil.
You can't play that game.
His value's nil.
Well, okay, suppose you go to another team with a receiver making $10 million who they're disappointed in, a veteran who can still catch, and you say, look, well, you take our disappointing guy, we'll take yours, we'll have some more
depth. They're going to look at the film of Reddick and say, no, thank you.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you, Ira, that he's got no trade value. If he has no trade value, I would be shocked if the Bucs cut him, because you're always hoping that, you know, maybe the light bulb will light up.
But
I understand your point, Steve. Go give him a fifth-round draft pick. Go give it to him. Don't hold your draft picks light. You got a chance to do some damage
this year. That's
a fifth-round pick. I'm not losing sleep over it.
Look, they got Jason Pierre-Paul for a third-rounder, and it's mid-season.
Steal.
You know, well, why can't they get a Hendrickson for, you know, a third and a fourth-rounder or something like that? But you know how the Bucks view their draft picks, like gold, and they kind of should. I don't know. The Reddick thing is really annoying me because if your first reaction is he's got no value, and I understand the salary's an issue, but...
Maybe it's time to, Lee, even if he's healthy, maybe it's time to put somebody else in Reddick's place.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
You know, let's see.
I mean, Chris Braswell's playing 12 snaps a game.
Don't tell me you're put Braswell in over
Why
Reddick.
Why not? We don't know if Braswell can play. Put him in
what
for a game.
What has he ever shown? At least Reddick's got one sack. At least he's got a history.
One and a half.
I'm with Steve on that one.
Braswell?
Let's see.
Let's find out.
Let's see.
I'm completely opposite of that.
Are you worried about the Saints game, by the way? In general?
Minimally. Only because it's the division game.
Well, after you go to the gumbo shop, you'll be even less concerned about the Saints game.
It's on my mind.
All right, Ira, look, we have to note, number one, you're 7-0 in your picks this year. This is extraordinary. Lee and
I felt strongly that they were going to lose to Detroit. Strongly.
Lee and I are now 5-2 looking up at you at the Sage. You think you can take this the distance, Ira?
You know what? I think I might. Yeah. I might do a Don Shula here. I might do a 72 Dolphins. They only played 14 games. Well, but they won 17.
Why don't you tell that story you always talk about with Don Shula? You got an argument with him.
Oh, yeah. They opened up Shula's Steakhouse in Tampa. You know, this is 15 years ago. I'm still working for the Tribune. And Nick Puglisi, the sports editor. Hey, somebody from Shula's Steakhouse just called, and they're doing a grand opening next week, and they want to know if you want to come out tomorrow for lunch. Just you and Don Shula sitting down and chewing the fat and write up a story, publicized. Of course I want to talk to the Hall of Famer. And I go there, and, you know, of course I order my prime rib. it's 11:30 in the morning.
Medium rare?
Yeah, medium rare, prime rib. The vegetables and whatever else comes with it. And there was dessert, Lee. There was dessert. Well, anyway.
What was the dessert? Carrot cake?
Creme brulee.
Oh, yeah, not nice bad. Dutch.
So I'm talking to Shula, and, you know, I'm trying to impress him that, hey, I've been around. You know, I'm talking about guys from 1968, you know, when he was coaching the...
Colts?
The Colts, yeah. After about 45 minutes, I felt comfortable enough to say this to him. And he's sitting there. You know, he's the king over there. I go, Coach, you may not agree with me, but your 73 team was better than your 72 team. What'd you say? I said, you heard me. The 73 team that kicked everybody's ass in the postseason, just rolled over everybody, was better than your 72 team. I thought he was going to throw me out of the restaurant.
Wow.
How could you improve on perfection?
That's very true.
That's very true.
Yep.
But they struggled in the playoffs.
Wasn't it Pittsburgh had him on the ropes?
Yeah, on the ropes, and Cleveland on the ropes.
Wasn't it like a fake punt or something that saved him?
And 14-7 against the Redskins. And they were underdogs in that game. That is amazing. Like, that shows that people didn't respect the AFC even after the merger.
Yeah.
This is a, you know,
I remember Larry King talking about that.
So that 73 team, Steve, in the playoffs is a juggernaut. And that was with the three-headed running back monster, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what made Warfield so great. He's on a run-oriented team, but he still makes the Hall of Fame.
Who did they beat in that 73 Super Bowl? Was it
the Vikings? They kicked their ass.
Okay, okay.
Tarkenton.
Yeah.
Again. Poor Tarkenton. He kept running up against a better team.
All right, Ira, look, the Bucks, the situation for the fans here.
It's a great situation. They're going to be 6-2 at the break. It's a great situation.
Only the Colts are 6-1.
Yes.
The NFC has got a slew of teams.
Now, Green Bay's 4-1-1, Steve. They are 4-1-1.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
But you got to get that fifth win. You can't just invent it. So Eagles, Lions, 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, and Bucks, it's six teams. Have five wins.
Some of those teams have the tiebreaker edge, and some the Bucks have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, it's a mix, and the Bucks still have to play the Rams. They're in great position here, but you're talking about Carolina, 4-3 now, and the Falcons did what they do. They lost.
Atlanta's a very erratic,
They're 3-3. What are your thoughts on the division now? What do you want from the Bucks here? Because two of their last three games are against Carolina.
I don't want to go down to the last 2 weeks of the season, Lee, like the previous years. I want the Bucks to be, 11-4 going into the last two games. That's what I want. And still possible. And having clinched. Now, Steve mentioned the tough games, Buffalo and the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Tough.
Back to back.
And New England's not terrible.
No.
They're not terrible. But now,
New England is going to be an issue because what's his name? The quarterback,
Drake May
is completing over 75% of his passes.
That's extraordinary.
Now, you face the Todd Bowles defense,
and he can move.
You're going to start carving stuff up.
Isn't Goff leading the league in completion percentage?
Yeah,
and look what they did to Goff.
Well, he carved him up pretty good
and early, but again, 24 points.
Oh, I'm not knocking the defense. I'm saying May's going to move the ball.
Yeah,
unless the Bucs can figure something out.
But the Bucs are a better team and should win.
I'm just saying it's going to be a tough day. That's all.
And by the way, Lee, after the New Orleans game, the Bucs will have played 5 road games. 5. Mm. Now, I think they might have 9 road games this year. Steve, am I right?
Yep.
All right. So that leaves 4 road games, but plenty of home games. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be 5 home games. And the Bucs are good on the road, Monday night notwithstanding.
Yeah.
They had a bad night.
Yeah.
And they played a really good team. And that's what happens. The same thing happened to Detroit going to Kansas City. Detroit did not play well. Mahomes was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
They got waxed by the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. I'm not discouraged about the Bucs.
I'm not discouraged either. I mean, as Lee's said, we've all said it, 6-2 at the bye. So as long as you don't choke against New Orleans, it's a dream situation.
I'd like to see Mayfield bounce back with a good game, Lee.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
So long as he's healthy. I think you can beat the Saints with a run. You know, I don't think Mayfield needs to drop back 40 times against the Saints.
I want to bring up a guy that I don't think he's playing. He's certainly not playing up to his contract. And I don't think he's playing very well.
McCollum?
Winfield.
He's playing a whole lot better than he did last year.
That doesn't say much, Lee.
I think
he's healthy. And I think he should be playing better. I think he should be making more of an impact than he is.
Someone, I can't remember who or where. I mean, I see and read and hear so much stuff. Someone was talking about Winfield recently, and they said he may not be the Pro Bowl player he played at, but he's still making plays. Not as many, but he's still making plays. He's still good. And that's kind of where I am.
Could I argue that Tyke Smith played better than him this year?
I can't go there. He's made more splash plays, but I can't say he's playing better. I can't go there.
I don't know. Tyke Smith looks very good, Lee.
He looks good, but, I mean, Winfield's got 2 or 3 sacks as well, doesn't he?
I'm talking about tackles. Tyke Smith's very active, Steve. He's very active.
Oh, yeah. Look, he led them in tackles.
Not the first time.
Last night. I forget the stat.
And he's not bad on the blitz.
It doesn't matter.
He's very good.
He's playing great. Great ball, in my opinion. But his position in Bowles' defense is very different than Winfield. So it's not really in that defense.
Another pick for Dean? Lee, what's going on? He's not dropping him. That's 3.
It's a hell of a story. Because he's only played 5.5
games.
Imagine
if he gets 7 this year.
He's only played in 5.5
games. Well, imagine if he gets 7 and the Bucks run him off, which Steve thinks they will.
Then they might not run him off. I mean, you never know. You never know.
Well, look, if he had, let's just
say. Nothing's written in stone.
Let's just say for some miracle he gets through the season healthy, and even if he misses a couple of games for something, and he's got 6 picks, and he's 29 with a Super Bowl ring, and people like him. He's going to have people
suitors
looking to pay for him out there. So
yeah, and I think Bowles likes Morrison. So at that point, they're not going to get into a bidding war for Jamel Dean.
No,
all the belly aching and hand wringing because he didn't get interceptions, and couldn't stand on the field, and then once he does, you say bye bye. Man,
it could be a money issue. It could be a money.
But
issue.
There's also a money issue of their own making.
But there's also ego involved. They paid a fortune to Zion McCollum. And Jason Light and the team there would have to go to the Glazers and say, well, we need to pay Jamel. And then, of course, the answer is, well, what do you mean? You just said we cut his pay because he didn't deserve it.
And you got a second-round corner, you know, that's ready to come
in. So I think that's a tough conversation for the higher-ups to wrap their head around. I don't know. I mean, Winfield's making a fortune of money. I don't know if you can pay 2 corners a fortune.
You know who had a good night last year? It's not even worth mentioning. Riley Dixon. And he had plenty of practice.
That's how we know.
Yeah, exactly.
He had plenty of practice.
You never want to see a punter on the field.
That's how we know it's time to end the podcast.
That first half, that was awful. They should have been down 21-0 the way they played.
Yeah, they should have been.
They should have been.
Campbell helped them out so much. Campbell kept them in the game in the first half. Here's one for you. Now, the one scoring drive they did have, touchdown scoring drive, the offense just didn't look aggressive until that drive. And like, okay, someone must have been chewing some ass or putting a foot in between a couple of butt cheeks or something. They looked into it, that one drive, and then they went back to looking lethargic.
Yeah, they came right out of halftime and looked great, and then it just all went away. I don't know.
Grizzard, you can do better.
He will.
You can do better.
He will. All right, we're out of here. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there for your vehicle. Simple as that. Bill Curry Ford.
And a great service department too, Steve. Outstanding.
BillCurryFord.com and Florida's Elite Restoration. Memorize the name. Get to their website, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Ira, I have to ask you just because it's always fun. What did you eat during the game? What is a Monday night? Not late night snack because it's 7 o'clock. But
I had a dietetic meal.
What'd you have?
Pork chop.